Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Issues 2020. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita TV News anchor reporter Stephanie Bergman. Welcome to Issues 2020.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You'll notice I didn't use the word retired in there.
That's right.
I didn't know if that was appropriate. Have you decided permanently to leave broadcasting behind? Have you burned all your bridges?
I haven't burned bridges, but I am ready for something new. And yeah, a lot of people assume that I retired when I left KSN, but I'm already at a new job, working again.
Okay. You want to tell us where you're working?
Sure. I'm marketing director at Wichita Presbyterian Manor. I'm over independent living. So learning a lot about senior care and all that goes with it. And, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks, I'm finding. And it's exciting to
say
do something
this,
new.
This dog over here doesn't do it very well. And now, do you have an experience with your mom or somebody?
My mom is 88, and I started looking around at facilities for her, and I also had done a story with Wichita Presbyterian Manor, and I was really impressed. I met the director, and then they posted a job opening, and I'd been thinking for some time about making a change, so it just seemed like everything kind of fell in place, and here I am.
And you're a little younger than me, but many folks in our demographic are saying that dealing with parents,
yes,
as they get closer to older age and whatnot. I had to go with my mom for a little bit, but
that's right.
It's quite an experience, and I don't know if you're ever ready for it.
Well, you aren't, because the roles shift, and pretty soon you're taking care of them, and yet my mom still wants to be independent. She lives alone, but she's in a two-story house with stairs. That scares
Yikes.
Me.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get her to consider other options like a retirement community, but she's her own person. She has her own ideas. So yeah, there's that fine line between trying to care for her and trying to control her.
Oh, those kinds of things. And how do you take away the car keys?
When do you do it?
There's and a lot to that, isn't there?
It is. And that's the thing about independent living. I don't think anyone ever wants to give up their home, but there's some good reasons to do it. And so that's what we're here, is to answer those questions.
You recently left KSN after 30 years there. How did you come to that decision?
Well, I had been thinking about it for a long time. I'm sure, as you know, Steve, you work in a job for so long and you get comfortable. But I also got a little bored. And I had thought about it for a long time, but let's be honest, the money was good. I love my coworkers. And it took a while to come to this point, but, you know, I've been a little worried about where the news industry is going. A lot of people don't watch TV news anymore. It's all digital. And so as a result, we have cut staff, and a lot of the reporters have to shoot for themselves, have to edit for themselves. And so they don't have the time to put into the writing and the storytelling. So that kind of bothered me. And then there was a contract offer that, frankly, was pretty insulting. And that was the push I needed to make the jump and say, okay, the time to go is now. And I'm glad I did. I think sometimes it's human nature. You need a kick in the pants to take a risk and actually take the plunge.
That is scary.
It is.
I mean, after you've been doing something for so long. But it sounds like the dots all connected for you there.
That's right. And I have to say, I feel pretty energized. Trying something new, my days just fly by. But I will also tell you, my brain just feels tired at the end of the day.
Really?
Just learning new things and how they, different policies, different procedures.
Well, I tell you, I try not to think too much.
Yeah, that's usually been my go-to motto.
Now let's do a little history. Where did you work before KSN?
Okay, so I started at KSN's Topeka station right out of college. And I interned at KSN in college. So that has really, truly been my whole work career. I spent a year in Topeka, and then I came down to Wichita's KSN station, and I've been there 29 years. So I joke at this job now at Presbyterian Manor, that is only my third job since college.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. So where are you from then originally?
I grew up in Mulvane on a farm. Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when I got into TV, my whole family, my brothers, my dad, they're engineers. So when I told them I wanted to go into TV, yeah, they gave me that look you just gave
me. They're not like train engineers. You're talking about the people who
right,
know about the equipment.
At Boeing and Spirit.
There
yeah,
you go.
And
okay.
I did not get that math gene. I don't know what happened. But when I told them I wanted to be a reporter, my mom said, oh, my gosh, you'll never get a job. You'll never make any money. And at first, as you know, Steve, the money is terrible. And it's crazy hours and all of that. But anyway, my dad said, you know, you could have a career like Rose Stanley. She stayed in one spot and built her career. And
wow.
I thought, oh, Dad.
Really?
To even compare myself to Rose Stanley. But 30 years are gone, and that's what I ended up doing.
So let's talk about your childhood. What was your childhood like? I mean, unless it, you know, if it was too embarrassing or...
Pretty standard.
Tell me to buzz off if you want.
No. I was the youngest. I'm the youngest of six. One brother has passed, so the youngest of five. Grew up on a farm. I mean, we just had the what I consider the ideal childhood, you know, running around like rugrats with no shoes on half the time. And my dad was an engineer, my mom a stay-at-home mom. So, and my family is still close. All my brothers and my sister live here except for one. We get together every week with my mom and have dinner.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's good. So when you were in school, did you excel in anything, sports or anything like that?
I played some sports, not great at sports.
Oh, okay.
But no, really, I did a lot of forensics, speech, writing. I mean, it all kind of pointed the way to a reporting career.
Can you remember a time when you decided, I want to be in television? Was it like a big... flashy moment or?
No, I was the editor of the school newspaper, and I really thought I would go into newspaper. But then I got a job as a DJ at a radio station. I was terrible. Oh, my brothers. In Glenwood Springs, Colorado. So we did move and live in Colorado for a time. Yes.
Okay.
So I was a rock DJ, and my brothers would come up with all kinds of goofy you know, names for me. But I loved radio. So then I thought I was going to be in radio news. And someone at college suggested I try a TV course. And I was hooked. I love the way you could use sound, pictures, and words to tell a story.
Mm. Did you have a teacher or mentor who encouraged you when you were in school?
I really did. His name is Fred Shook. I went to Colorado State University. And I kept in touch with him for years and years. I would send him tapes of my work, and he would critique it, sometimes very brutally, and would send me the comments. And he actually was a friend and worked with Larry Hatterberg. So when he found out I was moving back to Wichita to get into TV there, he was thrilled that I'd be working with his old friend Larry.
You talk about, what were the challenges? First of all, did you have the Kansas twang and have to do with the voice, or was it more look into the camera better, or you've got the wrong color dress on? What did he help you with?
It was the clothes and hair. Oh. That has been the bane of my existence.
Me too.
Oh, you don't have enough. I have too much, and it's crazy. I have naturally curly hair. It was big, and it was the 80s, so of course, hair everywhere, and learning to dress professionally and have that neat hair that would not distract from what you're trying to tell the viewer. So he would send these nicely but very blunt critiques that I needed to, you know, do away with the nightclub earrings and all of that.
Quit wearing the overalls.
Yeah, the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation jacket had to go.
What about, you're talking about, that's college, but what about when you got into broadcasting? Anybody there that's been a real helper to you? Somebody you want to talk about? That helped her.
You get
that look on your face like, I can't think of anybody.
Well, there were so many. I can't think of one guiding person. I tell you, a lot of my help came from photographers. When it comes to storytelling, it's not just the words, especially in TV. You have to learn to refer to the video. And so really, I had a lot of great photographers that helped me along the way. Ted Lewis and Scott Dietz and Kevin Stiebrel were all photographers, are still some of them at KSN, and so I had a lot of guidance working with them.
Tell us about the biggest story or two that you've covered over the years.
Oh, clearly, in 95, the Murrah Federal Building being bombed in Oklahoma City.
Really?
Yes. Ted Lewis was the chief photog at the time. He and I were sent down. That was at the time when cell phones were just starting to be used. So we had the cell phone in the bag, you know, heading down there, and we didn't know the extent of what had happened yet. And we were able to drive right up to the building and see them bringing out the wounded and in some cases dead victims of that bombing. And of course, at that time, as a young reporter, I had never seen anything like that. Of course, the nation had never seen anything like that. So it was really, it wasn't traumatizing at the time because you're in work mode and you have a job to do. But later, looking back, some of those images are really burned into your brain.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And you, the adrenaline is pumping.
Yes.
You're trying to think, okay, how are we going to do this? Where should I be? You don't really think about that until hours, maybe days later.
Exactly. And I was trying to get interviews sitting in the waiting room of a hospital at one point with Connie Chung. There was Tom Brokaw, all of these high-powered, were all there trying to cover the story. And so it was in many ways an experience unlike any other. And we, of course, followed it through the days right up until when they imploded the building and brought it down.
So did you stay down there or did you go back and forth?
Back and forth. Okay. The initial, when the attack happened, we were down there, I think, for 3 days nonstop. But again, with the technology, it was much more difficult covering a story like that back then. You couldn't Google things. You couldn't email scripts and all of that. It wasn't, that just wasn't
Did you have a satellite truck, though?
Did
you beam up? Okay.
Well, and I think we used, they had satellite trucks that you could just contract with. And they would just stay down there and we'd do live shots just nonstop. I would do live shots for Channel 3, but then other stations in the region.
Right. Yeah. You're listening to Issues 2020 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest is Wichita TV News anchor reporter Stephanie Bergman. And before we go any further, I just want to say, what's it like being on the other side of the mic?
It's wonderful. Jeans on Friday at work.
Do what?
Jeans on Friday.
I mean, you're in an interview situation.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
It's very unnerving. As I was driving here, I thought, I'm not used to taking the questions. I'm used to firing off the questions.
Well, I did one on TV, a one-on-one on Channel 8 the other night, and that was really interesting. But yeah, it's different, isn't it?
It really is, not knowing what's going to come at you.
Yeah. Well, you anchored every newscast possible on KSN, I guess. Did you prefer anchoring or reporting?
I really preferred reporting. Anchoring is where the money is. Of course, there's more risk. If people don't like you, they can let you go. But reporting is where my heart always was. You get out of the station, you meet people, you're right in the thick of it. And I like the writing. Mm-hmm. You know, anchoring, again, you do some writing for the producers, but you're reading other people's stories. And I liked being the one there, seeing it, doing it, and writing it.
Some mutual acquaintances have complimented you to me on your reporting skills.
Oh, that's very
what
nice.
Makes for a good piece of reporting in your estimation?
Well, I think you need to look for what is unusual, what is different, what really stands out in your memory. And sometimes as reporters, we get so caught up in the facts that we forget what is the one thing, if you were telling your mom about your day, about the story you covered, what's the one thing that you would lead off telling her? And that should be the gist of your story.
And biggest challenges in TV reporting?
Well, especially now, as I alluded to earlier, reporters have to shoot, write, and edit their own stories. So it's just so, it's running and gunning. There's not always a lot of time. And when you're trying to deal with a complicated story and get it all together and look put together and composed for a live shot by five, it's tough sometimes, and kudos to all of them that do it. I mean, our reporters at KSN and the other stations, they all do a great job.
Well, and the average viewer says, well, they catch your mistakes. They wrinkle up their nose, but there's a lot more to it.
There is, and if you think about it, the reporters in the morning don't get their story until 9:30 or 10 o'clock. They have about a 3 or 4 hour window to get all the video and the interviews that they're going to use to start writing by 2 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
And so think about it, how tough it is to get people to do an interview with you on short notice like that. And if they can't get an interview, they've got to do something else.
Yeah. That's the other part. If they're not there, you got to have somebody. And that takes time to find them, track them down, do that.
That's right. And so I think reporters get very resourceful figuring out how to make the story happen. It's just not an option to say, well, this isn't going to work out. We're not going to have a story today. No, you will have a story one way or the other.
What challenges are special when you're in the anchor chair?
Well, there are so many things going on at one time, especially if it's live and there's breaking news. You've got the director and the producer talking
in
your ear.
Yes.
Sometimes you feel almost schizophrenic, all these voices in your head. And you do learn to keep going and talking and not let it show on your face.
Right.
But at first, it's tough. But I think it's also hard sometimes when you're talking about politics or anything emotional not to let your own opinion color what you say and how you react to things. And I've always had a tendency, what's going on in my brain shows on my face. So I've had to learn how to filter.
Has gender ever played a role, good or bad, in your career?
You know, I really cannot say that I've felt like I didn't get an interview or people treated me differently because I'm a woman. Maybe that's because I'm in Wichita and probably because I've been here so long. That helped pave the way. Once people know you, they tend to be more fair and open-minded. I did not have that issue. I can see, though, in other places that might be a challenge.
It takes a lot of people to put on a TV show, as you just alluded to. Talk a little bit about the teamwork that goes into that. I think count about a half dozen people just to get you on the air.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. We have kids come by to shadow us and learn about what we do. And I'm always quick to point out the reporter and the anchor are only the two most visible jobs in television. You've got the producer who does a huge amount of work. That's the person who decides what stories to put in the show and in what order. And when things change, as they often do, they have to figure out what to drop and have it all come out in 30 minutes. Because, again, it's not an option to run into Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. That's when you get the nasty calls.
Don't mess with those fans.
And then, of course, the director, he's the one in the back making sure all the camera shots look good, the photographers, the editors. There's just a huge number of people, and that's why, frankly, that's why some mistakes happen, because there's so much communication and coordination needed. But a lot of the shows are very clean, and that's why it looks easier than it is.
There you go. Feedback from viewers. Care to share any negative input you've received?
You know, after I had been here a while, I didn't get a whole lot of feedback. I think people, for better or worse, figured, well, that's her. She's not going to change.
You think they gave up on her?
Maybe so, yes. But I will say, especially when I started anchoring and I started doing the morning show, people are very opinionated, and the number one thing they will comment on is your hair or your makeup or your clothes. Now, I don't think that's true in the case of men, but for women, it really rubbed me the wrong way that in 30 years, those were the comments I got more than anything. I can count on one hand how many times someone questioned the accuracy or the fairness of a story. So I take that as a huge compliment to my reporting. But as you know, looks have nothing to do with news, but it's human nature. That's what people focus on.
Now, let's talk about the impact of computers and social media on TV news. And here, maybe, let's look at the fact that when you started out, there were, what, three local channels on TV?
That's
right.
And now,
if you want some news, you can tune in about 750 if you want to.
My gosh,
and
there's
that's
so
the
many
crux
options.
Of what you were talking about, local news.
That's right. Yeah. It's just become so diversified. And even my own son told me once, I don't have time to sit down for a 30-minute newscast, Mom. I go online and read the headlines, what I care about. Of course, I said, you're killing me. But that's what we're facing. And so the focus anymore is all on digital. It's the websites and the social media. And so people just aren't watching. And if they're not watching TV news, the commercials aren't selling. And that's our bread and butter.
There you go.
And so we're having to make cuts and we're having to do more with less. So it's a tough business.
I can tell you that my two children, who are not children, they're both grown and have kids of their own. Neither one of them, I don't think, has ever subscribed to a local newspaper.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that they don't regularly watch local TV news, because I have to bring them up to date on some of it.
That's right.
But they find out somehow, like you're saying. They find out things and they talk about it. But
well, and I know the newspapers are going through the same thing, having to trim staff because people just don't sit down to read the morning paper like they used to. We're all so busy, I guess. It's easier to listen to it as you're driving to work on the radio or just check your phone for the headlines.
But when it comes to the social media, there's lots going on. A lot of people are going to those web pages and so forth.
That's right. And, you know, there's good and bad with social media. I won't lie. We used to get a lot of stories from Facebook when I was there.
Sure.
But there's a lot of misinformation out there, too. And sometimes the people that are most vocal have an axe to grind or they don't have the correct information. And so sometimes people are too easily swayed by what they see on social media instead of getting the facts from different sources.
So where is local TV news going in the next few years?
Well, I think it is going to be more and more digital. I think if TV stations are going to survive, they have to be hyper-local. They have to really listen and be responsive to what viewers want because they can get their national news anywhere. So if the three stations in Wichita are going to make it, we're just going to have to. And look, I still say we. I still feel like I'm part of the news landscape. But we're going to have to really focus on the issues that are important here in Kansas, not necessarily anywhere
focus
else.
Yeah. Well, you can tell me to fly a kite if you want to. Who are your personal support helpers? Somebody who's in your life that helps get you up and getting your hair fixed every day.
Well, of course, my husband, he has been wonderful. And from the time I said, you know, I may want to make a change and do something different, he said, go for it, whatever you want to do. And that's big because, again, I did take a pay cut to change careers. But there's value in trying something new and taking a risk. And I also want to give a shout out to my mom because back in college, I became a single mother. I had my son in the summer before my senior year, and I thought, oh boy, there goes my dream of being in TV because you don't get paid much when you start out. You have crazy hours. Well, my mom and my dad, who was living at the time, he's not now, she moved to Colorado where I was going to college, stayed with me while I finished college, moved to Topeka while I had my first job. And Dad all the while stayed in Wichita and worked, and they lived apart for 2 years while they helped me. And then when I got hired at KSN, they were reunited. So how's that
amazing
for support?
What a mom and dad will do for a kid, right?
Isn't that, as I've gotten older, I've realized more and more the sacrifice they made. And I truly mean it when I say I wouldn't have had the TV career I did if not for them. I mean it quite literally.
Sure.
I wouldn't have had the money or the time to handle both motherhood and being a reporter.
Would you recommend a career in TV news for young people?
Oh, that's a tough one, Steve.
I know you want to be frank.
I do. And I have loved my 30 years. I have so many good memories, and it was exciting. And I got to do things I never would have been able to do in other jobs. But boy, I don't know. It's a tough business. There are so many layoffs, and I would say if you want to be a digital reporter, posting stories on the web, that may be the way to go.
Okay. Well, I get to do both of them. So.
Yes, you do.
It's a lot of fun. Well, listen, we've got just a few seconds left here, and I just want to tell you that I've watched your career over the years, and I'm impressed. I think you've done a great job, and I'm not the guy who cares much about what your hair looks like.
Ah, thank you.
I have no reason to be that way. But I've heard it. You know, people say, you know, that guy's tie. I don't like the tie. It's a strange business.
It is, and it's nice to not be under the microscope quite so much. To just be able to do my job and not worry about those other things.
Okay. Well, listen. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us this morning. We appreciate it. And you're working where now again?
Wichita Presbyterian Manor. So I'm still a hometown girl. I'm still here.
All right. Good to have you here and staying with us for a while. And I appreciate your 30 years in broadcasting and television news. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our guest, Wichita TV News anchor reporter, Stephanie Bergman. That's all for this edition of Issues 2020. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.